Welcome to Solder Smoke, where we talk about all things electronic and geeky. We meet on Echolink and swap ideas related to workbench radio projects. If you have any questions about this podcast or suggestions for future casts, send a note to soldersmoke@yahoo.com. Our webpage is www.geocities.com/soldersmoke. As always, have fun, melt solder, and pass along your ideas.
KL7R, KL7R. On the slopes of the Mendenhall Glacier in Juneau, Alaska, this is M0HBR in central London. Are you there, Mike?
Yeah, M0HBR, KL7R. Good morning and good evening. It's 11:17 in the evening here. I just got back from a ride with my wife downtown, and all the cruise ship lights are all aglow and sparkling off the water. We've had one day without rain, so everybody's out on the beaches and carrying on here in Juneau. Back to you, Bill. Over.
Yeah. Well. Okay. Great. This is Solder Smoke 28, and the date is the 30th of July, Sunday, at least here in London. Probably still Saturday night there, but. We're on GMT here. We're 1 hour off, but we're closer to Greenwich than you are, Mike. fine on the cruise ships. Yeah, we used to get the cruise ships into Punta Delgada and the Azores. That was always a big event. It didn't happen that often, but when it did come in, there was this influx of interesting foreigners and got the town going. It was always a lot of fun. And wow, beaches in Juneau, who'd have thought? we haven't been to the beach here, but it's been warm in London. We've had a very warm, sunny summer, and have been enjoying it. So, what is new on the solder smoke front at our Juneau, Alaska offices, KL7R, M0HDR?
Well, not a whole lot new. I've been playing with my computer quite a bit. I got two monitors, and the video card allows you to have both of them plugged in at the same time. So I've been playing with my pictures my wife took of flowers in the front yard, and figuring out how to spread the photo out to some insane resolution like 2560 by 1024. So now I got a double white background on my PC. I've been playing a lot with VMware. I don't know, are you familiar with VMware? It's a bit of software that allows you to run another operating system in a window. There's a VMware player you can get that's free from VMware.com, and you can play. You can install like Linux in this virtual machine, and I've been playing with it. Been playing with all kinds of virtual machines. I've got I must have 10 of them downloaded. Different flavors of Linux and specialty tools so it's pretty fun. You can pretend you're a network here in a single PC, Bill. That's what I've been up to. Not a lot of soldering. I got the Red Lantern radio out, Motley Special or whatever we're calling it, and I made a contact on it. So I imagine pretty soon I'll start finishing up the schematic for it. There. Back to you, M0HBR, KL7R.
Yeah, KL7R, 0HBR. Well, great. I've been on the air a little bit. Well, VMware sounds, because I mean, you're talking about another operating system in a window. I'd be frightened about another operating system anywhere in the computer. So I think I'll steer clear of VMware and stick to my kind of analog. Discrete component level of technology. Yeah, I've been I've had the double sideband rig on 20 meters has been in pretty good shape. and I had one of these great QSOs yesterday. I was just about to leave the shack, and I said, let me spin the dial on this little ceramic-controlled DSD rig that we've been talking about, and I hear the call sign of an old friend from Sweden. His home call is SM0FQW, Fox, Quebec, Whiskey. And during the summertime, he goes up to northern Sweden and operates his SM4FQW, same as Rolf. And he and I spoke regularly when I was out in the Azores. And so now it's been 3 years since we've spoken to each other, but I heard him on there. He was just going to wrap up a QSO. I knew he probably wouldn't hear me if I called him without a little bit of prior warning. So as he was wrapping up the QSO, I Googled up his email address and shot him an email in the hopes that he had the computer on, and said, you know, basically, hey, Rolf, I'm listening to you on 20. Give me a call when you're finished. And so my son and I were sitting here in the shack listening to the little direct conversion receiver with his voice on it. And all of a sudden I hear him say to the other guy, oh, wait, I'm getting an email. Wow, my old friend Bill from the Azores. He thought I was still in the Azores. So I could almost hear him turning his beam away from, well, I guess the Azores would be pretty much on the same heading, but I was afraid that he would be thinking I was in the Azores. I shot back that, no, I'm in London. So, oh, wow, no, he's in London. So anyway, we had a real nice QSO on 20 meters. He could hear me pretty well. Then we switched over to EchoLink, and he had to step out onto his front porch there with the handy-talkie. But we linked up via EchoLink there at the end with him on the HT hitting a repeater in Mora, Sweden. This was pretty much how we did our QSOs back in the Azores. So we had a good combination of EchoLink technology, repeaters, 2 meters, 20-meter double sideband, and a bit of Hotmail email thrown in for the bargain. So it was a good QSO yesterday, KL7RM0HPR.
Well, that sounds like a great one, and your son was in the shack there, so he got to hear it all going on. You're like a command and control there for all this telecommunications activity between London and Sweden there. Well, great. Well, sounds like your DSD rig is still working. I heard on the air this morning the band was kind of flat here this morning. But I heard a bunch of Echo Alpha stations. There sounded like some CW contest on the bottom end of 20 there. But 80 and 40 have been real good, predictably good. You get kind of spoiled. You go a whole winter where it's really, really rough, and then you have months at a row where it's really good, and you kind of get used to it. And don't take advantage of all the great propagation sometimes. So, like I say, not a lot of soldering. I've been fooling around, just kind of getting this computer lashed up. Well, I sent you a couple of notes about some topics we could talk about, Bill. I don't remember what they were. Maybe you could refresh my memory. Something about solder and something about hackers. There's Bill,
M0HBR, KL7R. KL7R, M0HBR. Yeah, it was good. My son was in the shack, and he actually he spoke to Rolf via EchoLink and the repeater, so it was a lot of fun. And I have notes here. I have a piece of paper here that in the interim between Solder Smoke episodes, I jot things down that we should talk about. And I have these, so I know what you're thinking about there. Just before we move on from software, you've been playing with the VMware, and you were talking about pictures on the screen. Let me recommend a little bit of free software for you, WebShots. I don't know if you have WebShots, but it's great fun. You get to load in a whole bunch of as many pictures as you want, really, from the digital camera, and it turns those pictures into kind of a slideshow screensaver for you. So we have it downstairs, so all the family pictures are constantly being popped up on the screen there for 5 seconds or so, and then they move on, and you can jumble them up and have different collections and everything else. It's great. And I've been playing with YouTube, the famous YouTube video. Shot some videos when we were in the Dominican Republic, and now, of course, want to share them with other family members. But there are many megs, so it's a difficult email. So you just upload them to YouTube. You can keep it private. You don't have to publicize it. And then you send the URL off to whoever. And it's a neat little program, very easy to use. Much easier than uploading video to our media. As much as we like our media, sometimes it's a bit clunky. But YouTube works just fine. The other thing is that they'll give you the when you upload a video, they give you the HTML code that you can use to plug into your website, so you can make it sort of the video a permanent feature of your website, and anybody who clicks on the little icon that results will get the your video. So I might do some of that with the Gadgeteer website. Let's see. Oh yeah, you had sent me something about tin whiskers. And this was, a problem that they've been having with the space shuttle, with the electronics on the space shuttle. I think that it's only, I hope that it's only in 0G where this happens, but spontaneously, apparently a little tin whisker, like a little wire, will start growing out of one of the one of the solder terminals on some of the electronic devices on the shuttle, and will create a kind of a tin whisker, a bridge between solder pads. Not a good thing, of course. Sort of reminded me of the dangers of having a steel wool in the radio shack. A while back when I was first getting into home brewing, I thought steel wool was great thing to have around for cleaning surfaces and cleaning leaves and everything else. And I found out the hard way that it leaves all little bits of steel wool floating around the shack and inside the project, and you could spend hours troubleshooting just to find that a bit of steel wool has made its way across the two pins on the NE602. So no more steel wool. That was one of the things you mentioned, Mike. KL7R M0HPR.
All right, Bill, KL7R back. Fine on all. I've never played with, I went to look at YouTube and I downloaded a couple of videos. There's some insane videos out there of guys riding motorcycles at 300 kilometers an hour. You know, production motorcycles, insane stuff. And guys doing block-long nose wheelies on sport bikes and stuff like that. There's some crazy riders out there. And find on web shots, there's a bit of software that Google has. It's called Picasa. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but it's a really good bit of software for handling your pictures. Lady at work pointed it out to me. I don't know where she found it, but it's from Google, and it's a free download, a free bit of software from Google. It's a pretty nice software. And as far as the whiskers, apparently they're trying to go to lead-free solder, and apparently lead-free solder has a propensity to grow these filaments of tin, and they just grow out like little spikes from the solder itself, and I from my impression was it was not a zero G thing. It was it happens it'll grow out on the side of solder that doesn't have lead in it. And they were showing if you do a search for tin whiskers or something like that, you'll find some research that they're doing on it. They've shown where these tin whiskers will jump between. They can't handle much current, the tin whiskers themselves. But if they jump to another pad that has high current, they can ionize, and the ionization can handle a lot of current and blow up and short out and kill circuitry. And my impression was they had lost a couple of satellites that they were sure about to this happening. And they were talking about another possible Y2K where data centers that have raised floors, the the tiles of a raised floor, the bottom of a tile of a raised floor is coated with a zinc-like tin, and it the tin itself grows whiskers, and so all of these, you know, sensitive computers and what all inside of data centers will have clouds of steel wool flying around in the data centers before too long. It's interesting. Sometimes California doesn't have it just right, you know, with trying to get rid of lead to save the environment. You know, they may be killing electronics, trying to save on smog, they wind up burning more fuel. So, Beckyville, M0HBR, KL7R.
Okay, KL7R, M0HBR. Well, good, Mike. I mean, I was looking for an excuse to avoid the transition to lead-free solder, having spent the last 30 years with leaded solder. So I guess I'll have to stock up now. I guess maybe Dan's small parts will keep us in leaded solder for as long as we need to be melting solder. I guess we shouldn't adopt the slogan, you know, solder smoke with lead solder. I don't know. But that was interesting. Wow, not a zero-G thing. Yeah, that's a problem. Well, thanks to leaded solder, I guess. Hey, one other thing, a couple things that popped to mind. One, we had a solder smoke was mentioned in the latest edition of Sprat. I know you're a fan of Sprats. They ran a little article that I wrote up about the ceramic oscillator in a DSB rig. And I mentioned in the article that the original idea for the ceramic oscillator came during one of our Echolink discussions. I don't know if it mentioned solder smoke, but it definitely mentions that we were on Echolink, that you and I were talking about it, and that you suggested that I experiment with putting two of them in parallel. So it's in Sprat, and I was pleased to finally get something into that magazine because I'm a big admirer. Then I promptly lost my edition, so I can't send you a copy of the article. I'm going to have to ask the guys at the GQRP to send me an additional issue. Every summer I seem to lose the summer issue because it fits very nicely in your pocket, but it also falls out very easily, so I'll have to get a replacement copy. But we're in Sprat this time, the latest issue. Also, a very cool article in there I wanted to mention to you by Hans Summers, one of the, I think, great contemporary GQRP Club home brewers. And Hans has got a really good article in there about some experiments he's been doing with slow-speed QRP. This is where they really bring the speed of the Morse code down to extremely slow levels and are able to operate with extremely narrow-band filters, and then they get some of the 50 software that is out there to pick up, you know, microwave or microwatt signals, rather, from the other side of the planet, even under pretty bad conditions. And so you should do, if you're interested, anybody's interested, just do a search for Hans Summers and QRSS, I guess it's what they're calling QR slow speed, QRP slow speed. But I thought that was pretty neat. Hey, and one other topic that has to be mentioned in this episode, have you seen the contest or the competition that that QST has launched for the development of the phone CW rig homebrew for $50 or less? We've been challenged to design a workable phone and CW rig. It's got to be 40 meters. Your mention of 40 meters has made me think of this. And they're looking for designs for rigs that could be built for $50 or less. I thought that was really interesting. KL7R, M0HBR.
Wow, no, I hadn't heard that. I've let my ARRL membership expire. I re-upped so I could respond to all the QSL cards I had received so that I could send them out via the bureau. But then I let it lapse. Next time I come into a big wad of money, I'll re-up, I guess. well, that's a great idea. And there are a number of rigs for CW that could hit $50, but to do it for phone and CW, huh? Well, I could see how double sideband would fit the bill. Yeah, we're thinking the same. And I'm thinking double sideband could do it pretty easily, or maybe even a phasing sort of circuit with the audio circuit, or maybe there's something you could do with a there's something you could do with a IQ quadrature type frequency synthesizer and I don't know if companies have made IQ audio, but it would be interesting to see if you could like do direct. Well, that would be too technical. I like the idea, like you mentioned, of just a couple of balanced modulators made out of diodes and toroids, and just go double sideband. If you want CW, just inject an audio tone or unbalance the mixer there. A project. I know how you could do a transmitter, but a transceiver, that would be a receiver is not too bad. It's two chips for a receiver, an LM386 and an NE602. You know, it might be doable. It might be something to think about, Bill. I didn't see that. You had so many other things you were talking about there. On QRSS, I've played with that. My Keir will do QRSS, and I set up to transmit that for. I got on that. There's a frequency 10.140, and these guys are know their frequency down to less than down to 1 hertz easily, and I have seen. That's how you decode the QRSS. You use software like Spectran or some other audio spectrum analyzer, and you listen to the audio noise coming out of your receiver, and it just sounds like but the spectrum analyzer will over long integration periods, will show a line where the long-term, like 10-second bit shows up as a line on the audio spectrum analyzer, and then you read the Morse code off the screen, like a short is an R, and I have seen it on the air. I've seen QRSS signals on 10.140, but I've never made a contact. I've only seen just short coming out of the noise stuff, but. It's pretty interesting stuff. There's guys making contacts between New Zealand and Europe on milliwatts and small antennas. Pretty amazing. I've lost the train here. Back to you there, Bill. M0HBR, KL7R.
Yeah, KL7R, M0HBR. Yeah, the QRSS thing really. But my eye reminded me of the fun of running beacons on 10 meters. I did it in Virginia, and I think in the Azores too. I built up this little 10 meter QRP transmitter and drove it with a bit of software from my old computer. Actually, Ralph Taggart, the guy who's famous for all the satellite TV books. Sent me a kind of a modified bit of software so I could use his Morse code program as a beacon generator. And it was great fun. You'd just leave this thing on. And I would transmit a request for reports, and I would transmit my email address. And it was like sort of a message in a bottle thing. We'd throw instead of throwing the bottle in the water, you just throw a little RF into the ionosphere. And I'd get reports back, and it was great fun. I like the idea of beacons, and the QRSS thing seems to be just even more interesting version of beacon operations in a lot of ways. Yeah, this contest, it's in the current issue of QST. I think it's really doable, especially if you start exploring some kind of junk box part sources that are, everybody has little bits and pieces of stuff laying around. I think it's a great thing, and yeah, I'll have to think about it. I can't imagine some of the rigs I have laying around here costing more than $50. So I might come up with a submission. I think the contest runs. I think they plan on running the winning article in August of next year, this time next year. So there's some time, and they want phone, and they even specify it doesn't have to be single sideband. It could be double sideband. It could even be AM. But I think DSD is the way to go. Of course, we have our prejudices in this area, Mike. Hey, I've been did a little bit of fooling around with LT Spice, and I posted trying to understand some of the stuff in the David Rutledge's book, The Electronics of Radio. He was talking about Class C amps and whether they saturate or not, and some of the guys on the homebrew rec radio amateur homebrew group and on QRPL were helping me understand that, and I went and played with a little bit in LT Spice, and that was fun. Hey, I want to do something here before I forget. Solder Smoke needs a logo, kind of an album cover. Think of an album cover for Solder Smoke. The reason we need it is that they on iTunes, the big iTunes site, if you have an album cover or a logo, you're, I think, more likely to be listed as one of their recommended podcasts. Mike sends me a message suggesting something from Pink Floyd. I wasn't quite that ambitious, but I briefly tried to go around and fool around with some of the graphic arts software out there and realized that, no, I shouldn't be the one doing this. But I'm sure that among our listeners out there, there's somebody who could put something together for us quickly and easily and contribute to the Solder Smoke effort. So we're making an appeal now to Solder Smoke listeners. If there's anyone out there who thinks they can come up with a good logo or album cover for us, we'd appreciate it. And then we'll put it with appropriate credits onto iTunes, and maybe that'll generate some more interest in our podcast. I don't know. There are obvious themes: smoke rising from a soldering iron, the whole Alaska, London, round the world thing, Echo Link involvement. There's a lot of possibilities there, but we appeal to those with artistic talent out there to come up with a logo for Solder Smoke, and please send it to us. You can send it to me at n2cqr@arrl.net. That'll do it. It'll get to me. And we'd appreciate any help in this area. Let's see. Back to you, Mike, at KL7R M0HBR.
That's a great idea. And I'm sure somebody could come up with something like a cartoony soldering iron or a Danger Geeks Ahead sign or something like that. That'd be interesting to see what people come up with. And as far as your Class C and saturation, I saw the comments you made in Rec Radio Amateur Homebrew, and I was reading the Art of Electronics, I think that was the name of the book that I was reading, and they had the concept of Transistor Man, and Transistor Man's whole purpose was to look at, if you imagine a transistor and the base and the collector and the emitter, Transistor Man, his whole job is to look at the current coming in on the base on a pretend meter of the current coming in on the base, and his whole job is to adjust the variable resistor so that the current going through the collector emitter is beta or the H sub FE, the transistor beta times the base current. So his whole job is to sit there and make sure that the collector current is beta times the base current. And anyway, they made a comment in there: when a transistor goes into saturation, the knob is turned all the way down so that the variable resistor that transistor man has control of is at a minimum, and so the current is maximum. Interesting visual picture. I don't know if that was helpful at all. I was trying to understand what you meant by, you know, when you design a Class C, it basically is on for a certain part of the sine wave cycle. But, you know, it could be that the peak of the sine wave determines saturation rather than, you know, if you had a square wave coming in the base, you know, you might ensure saturation. I don't know if it's necessary to have saturation in a Class C throughout the whole cycle of the sine wave. What did you figure out from all that there, Bill? Over.
Yeah. Well, one of the things is I think part of the difficulty is that when you first learn this stuff with tubes, it's a bit different when you go from tubes to transistors. And, you know, Class C has always been defined for me as setting up the amplifier so that the device conducts only during the peaks of one half of the cycle of the input signal. In other words, it has a conduction angle of less than 180 degrees. And on a transistor, you know that you don't really get any base current until the signal at the base gets beyond the threshold of, you know, 0.6 or 0.7 volts, unless you put bias on it. If you bias on it, then it's conducting all the time, then you're getting into Class A or Class AB. But if you just leave it without any bias on the base, which is the way most Class C amps and QRP rigs run, then the thing is only gonna conduct when the peak, when the signal of at the base goes beyond the 0.6 or 0.7% threshold on that base emitter junction. My question was, if you drive it really hard and depending on what kind of load you have in the collector circuit, you could, when it does conduct, bring it into saturation. Your transistor man basically bringing voltage across the transistor to zero with lots of current going through it. And the answer was that in most cases they do set up the Class C amps so that they saturate. But I don't think that for the definition of Class C, I think the definition of Class C really is that you have it conducting for less than 180 degrees. The conduction angle is less than 180 degrees. So I think it's just a matter of definitions there. But it was interesting in LT Spice to see what happens when you really start driving that Class C amp hard, and you do see the kind of flat topping taking place, and which indicates saturation. And it's fun to plot it with looking at both the current through the transistor in the collector circuit and the voltage across the transistor in the collector circuit. But anyway, with the help of the guys from QRPL and Rec Radio Amateur Home and a little bit of LT Spice, and yeah, I figured it out. So thanks to all who sent emails. Hey, Mike, I think we're getting close to our desired half-hour limit, which brings us to time for Solder Smoke Bell Bag. I'll go through it real quick. Doc, K8WDE, writes and tells us that he's been listening to Solder Smoke during his drive to work. We got an email from KA6VKP, very apropos of today's technical topic, talking to us about the input impedance on Class C amps and how to figure it out. I'm sorry to say I don't know, and I'm probably the wrong guy to ask, having, as I said, just struggled with whether the Class C amps saturate or not, but If anybody has an answer for KA6 VKP, let me know and I'll pass it on to him. We're very pleased to see that Mike, WB8ICN, asked for the spreadsheet that we were talking about a while back and the LT Spice model that went with it when I moved my my website to gadgeteer.us. I forgot to change the URLs on the blog page of our media, so Mike, let me know about that, and I'll have to get in there and change that soon, I guess. Gary, VK2KYP, is listening down under as he drives in to work from the Central Coast to Sydney. Always pleased to hear about the listeners on the other side of the planet. And we've got a really interesting one, Mike. I'm sure you saw this one. Jerry, KK7CC, believes that solder smoke is having an influence on the market price of books like Solid State Design for the Radio Amateur. He said that he's noticed, he's been attempting to get them, I think, via eBay, and has noticed that there's been a big run-up in the price of these books. So I want to just make clear that we have not gone out and invested in multiple copies of Solid State Design for the Radio Amateur. We're not attempting to manipulate the market and make a killing on homebrew radio books. That concludes this week's episode of Solder Smoke Mailbag. What do you think, Mike? KL7RM0HBR.
All right, Bill. Yeah, you know, I checked into the Echolink QRP conference. That's Star QRP Star, which happens on Sunday U.S. At 9 o'clock Eastern. So it's I checked in there, and there was a number of fellows there, and they all wished you and I the best, and everybody seemed to really enjoy solder smoke there. WB8ICN and KB0ADD in particular wanted to pass along their regards to you there, Bill. All right, Bill. Yeah, you know, we ought to get together, and we should come up with an SS1 or something like that, something under $50. That would be an interesting project to try. And for next time, I posted a question to Rec Radio Amateur Homebrew and didn't get much of a response, maybe because it was a lame question. But the question is on antenna traps. You can have a parallel resonant antenna trap, which is a coil and a capacitor in parallel, or you can have them in series. And they're basically bandpass filters that are two terminal networks. And I wanted to know how to make a low pass filter two terminal network. And you know, the obvious answer is an inductor, but how do you increase the roll off of an inductor? You know, basically it's basically a linear response. The higher the frequency goes, the more the reactance goes. How do you make it go more? that was my question. Maybe it's a crazy question. Anyway, I guess time to wind it up, Bill. Good to hear you again. I know you've been awful busy and summertime, so we'll make the solder smokes as often as we can, and talk to you next time. I'll get this one buttoned up. M0HBR, KL7R.
KL7R, M0HBR. Okay, Michael, I'll go take a look at the posting there at Rec Radio Homebrew. Networks are not my strong suit, I don't think, so it might get me provide me some stimulus for getting in there and cracking the books a little bit on that. Yeah, well, it's good to do another solder smoke, and I like the idea of a solder smoke submission for the QST contest. Maybe we could do it as a collaborative effort with our listeners and discuss the design as we go through it. That'd be fun. And, yeah, incorporate ideas that people send in and talk about it on the program. And, yeah, that might be a good way to go. That's a great idea, Mike. That's great. All right. Wrap it up. I'm going to go down and have breakfast. You should be getting ready to hit the rack there in Juneau. Say 7-3s for now, and And regards to all of our listeners, we appreciate the feedback. Please send it to us, and we'll include you there in the Solder Smoke mailbag. 7-3's all around, and have a good Sunday tomorrow night. Kale 7R, 7-3, from Mapsurly to go.